The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us this morning as we have assembled in God's house to see what God's word wants to speak to us this morning. Hopefully you did not come to listen to the speaker, but to what God's word wants to say. We need the love of God. We need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And that's why we have assembled together today. Welcome each one of you out. It's nice to see a group out and on a beautiful day. And according to the list that we usually go by, number 4 said go to Winkler. So here we are. I want to use one verse today as the beginning of the service, and I want to conclude with that verse as well. It's found in Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. And you might ask, how would he choose such a verse with the topic that he's addressing? Well, I'll address it at the end of the service, and then you'll know why I chose these verses to start off with. It's a Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The calling of the Lord. In difficult times, we are supposed to come to him. And with those verses, I want to conclude this morning's service. Aside from that, a world news article that I want to share this morning, I think should hit the churches as well, even if we're in a different country. The death of Charlie Kirk is important to me, I don't know to you. A 31-year-old conservative activist speaking in universities, speaking against homosexuality, speaking against abortions, convincing young people to Jesus is the answer, going to the White House and speaking to Trump and Vice President Vance. At 31 years old, he was killed. He was shot. And the funeral is this morning, approximately now, starting now. A young widow with 2 children had to leave her life. This is a worldwide thing. He did more in 31 years than many people do in 80 years. How he convinced people and his heart was in it. I'm not announcing this as a political agenda. I'm announcing this as a man of God had to put down his life. Here's a young lady going to carry on with life. That is important to me. And we can see where evil cannot stand the truth. They just don't join hand in hand. So as we fellowship today, think of this happened in Utah, but the funeral will be held. I forget in which city it is. They're expecting around 100,000 people. And President Trump will be speaking there, as well as Vice President Vance, and the young lady will be speaking there as well. I think it's only in our favor. You know, you might not totally agree with their agenda, but they were ambassadors for Christ, making a difference in this world at 31. So there is suffering. Let us unite in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for a beautiful summer. Thank you for the rains and the sunshine. Thank you for the crops. We ask that you might give good weather so that these farmers might be able to take off their crops. Weather is in your hands, and they are willing to do that. You've let them grow, and thank you for gardens and the food on the table, clothes on our body, and how you so richly provide for us. And you've given us your word, And there are people in this world that take it very seriously and go to higher powers and are not afraid to speak of evil that's happening, but also to encourage young people to accept you as your their personal savior. Father, we just pray for this young widow, Erica, her young children, those that will be speaking there that might have a great impact on to the kingdom of God. Whoever watches this, that funeral, Father, that your kingdom can be built. And we ask your blessing upon this morning's worship service that might serve to your honor and glory. For we pray in the name of Jesus, amen. We'll have two congregational songs at this time.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to number 352. Lord, grant me now thy Spirit's presence. 352.
God's wondrous grace. 194.
unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him, or meet him in the air. I know whom I am believing, and am persuaded that he is unto him against that day.
What a most wonderful hymn to sing at the beginning of a service. What wondrous grace. And truly, that's what it is. If it wasn't for grace, where would we be? We wouldn't. I want us just read this, the opening verses over once more, like I had the opening verses of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The words of Jesus himself, by invitation, he says, if you're struggling, life is difficult, why don't you try me? Why don't you try me? You might see your physical doctor, but what's wrong with trying the spiritual doctor, Jesus? My theme this morning will be a subject of where we've all been as adults. We have them in society, and it's children. We've been children at one time. Now most of us are adults assembled here this morning. I want to address the issue or the biblical standpoint of Jesus' children ministry, we could call it. I'll call it the children's ministry that Jesus had, and how Jesus taught adults about children and the obligation that we have as adults toward children. I might say what we as an obligation have as parents to our children. It's actually huge. It just about seems that Jesus, in his ministry, pulls the children before the adults. He loves the little children. And you will see it by the verses that I read this morning of what he thought about children. And it's well addressed in the scripture. Those of you that have your Bibles along, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And I will be going through a number of verses. Some might be a little bit repetitive, but different authors, different writers exposed a little different. Mark 10, 13 to 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And that's in Mark 10, 13 to 16. Just before that, in Mark 10, we find that the Pharisees came to him, and they had a dispute, and they tempted him in verse 2 of the same chapter. And Jesus answered, what did Moses command? And Moses wrote a bill of divorcement and so on. But Jesus said it was the hardness of the heart. He had an answer for the Pharisees. He says, in the beginning, it was not so. There was male and female. Not male and male, not female and female, male and female. And he says, for this cause, will a person leave father or mother, and he will cleave to his wife, and they two will become one flesh. And he says, what God has brought together, don't you try to put apart. And then he says, it goes on to list, so let's just skip a couple of verses. There was more to that. He called them adulterers, whoever marries those that is divorced. And it was that John the Baptist also lost his life because of seeing what he did to King Herod. I think that's also important that we take note of that. In verse 13, it says that they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And it was his own disciples that rebuked those that brought them. Can you see the scene? A swarm of young children being brought by parents, and his own disciples pushed him aside or did not accept it. And it says in verse 14, Jesus was not just a little displeased. He says he was much displeased. And he said this, let the children come, for such is the kingdom of God. He refers to children as the kingdom of God. And then he says to the adults, if you will not come as a little child, you won't go to heaven. Let's further in our this morning's devotional, let's see what Jesus really meant by all of this. But Jesus had a child ministry going, and he did not let adults stifle that or push him aside to that. In fact, he was much displeased. And then in Matthew 19, verses 13 to 16, it says, then were there brought unto him little children. Mark wrote about young children. Then were there brought unto little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. There's many common things that were written in Mark, but here it says to put the hands on them and pray, and it talks about little children, not young children. Basically coming out to the same thing, the disciples did not think that this was the place. I take it that the disciples thought, Jesus, you're about adults, not about children. That seemingly is childish. And you know, sometimes it's no different today. Children get pushed aside, and it was done there in the ministry as well. And he says, suffer these little ones to come and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Then we go to Luke chapter 9. And here we find a lesson where he takes a child and proves a point to the adults that were struggling under themselves who really they were. You know, adults sometimes have a problem. They want to measure up with somebody else and they think they're more important than others. And you will find a couple of passages that I'll read. Here's one. Luke 9, 46 to 48. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest? See, they're measuring up, comparing themselves. It's an ego motive. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, those that wanted to be the greatest, took a child and set them by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. He takes a child and puts him in the midst of them and teaches the adults a lesson. You have to become humble as a child. In Matthew 18, go back to the book of Matthew 18, verses 1 to 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, this is the question they have, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What a question. From adults, this wasn't from children. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You would have thought the disciples would know better than that. But that's the question. And what does Jesus do? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, the disciples, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, here he uses the word converted, and becomes as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the character of humbleness, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Very harsh and to the point words. That's why I say it just about looks like the ministry of children in Jesus' day. He pulled them ahead of adults, and he took children to teach adults a lesson about who's going to be the greatest. You get it? It's his children's ministry. And they wanted to know who was the biggest. And he talked about converting. He talked about children's humility. He said that person would be the greatest in heaven. You know, it's been said that if you serve, give others the glory, give others the praise, God the glory, you get the reward. I'll say it again. If you serve, give others the credit or praise, God the glory, and you go get the reward. Isn't that a nice thought? We all want a reward, so we shouldn't praise ourselves. We should praise somebody else or give others the credit, give God the glory. But it wasn't that way with the disciples. They wanted to know who was the biggest. That was their problem. At the end of the verse 6, it says, And who offends these little ones, referring to young children, it was better that they weren't alive. And he says, a rope tied around the neck and just simply drown them. That's very much to the point. You don't have to figure out what he meant by that. Adults, this is a lesson from Jesus. Parents, this is a lesson from Jesus. And then we turn our Bibles to Mark 9. Mark 9. Verses 33 to 47. Whosoever shall receive one of such little children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Referring to God. Who sent Jesus? God. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him. Because he followed us, not us. But Jesus said, verse 37. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that they disputed among yourselves by the way? Jesus knew that. But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. These are adults. And he sat down and called the 12, the disciples, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child, set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. I was into 38 and on. That had nothing to do with this context of the messages, but misfocused, misread. That happens, you know. Happens more frequently than it used to. I don't know why. But anyhow, this is again the scenario of measuring up and disputing among themselves, by the way, who would be the greatest. Oh, you would say today, that's not a problem. People don't have that problem of measuring up with each other. Think again. Think again. But he takes his own disciples and says that those people that want to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant all. He's a servant spirit. He takes a young child in his arms. And he mentions to the disciples who, if you don't want to accept young or receive young children in my name, I will not receive. There's so much to be said about young children, and the world is full of them. I will leave, we'll carry on after kneeling and go further with this subject of children and how do we treat young children? Are they something that we can appreciate, that we can live alongside and support? Or what did Jesus say about young children? And then some applications. How do we treat young children today? Before we go to prayer, I have two prayer requests that I'd like to read. One is handed in by Ann Letkeman. She asks for prayers for her nephew, Billy Barch. This comes from Ann Letkeman. Billy Barch, he has a tumor behind his eye. And so let's pray for Billy Barch. I understand he might come from Ontario. That's the way I understand. Billy Barch, a tumor behind his eye, and then also a prayer request from Judith Clausen, which attends this church and is here this morning. She has a granddaughter named Tegan. The parents are Steve and Cheryl Clausen of Morden, and Judith Clausen has a granddaughter, Tegan. She's a young teenager, a godly young lady, according to what I read here. I won't read it. It's a lengthy thing. I won't read all of it. But she's going through some health problems, some cancer, thyroid, and different difficulties. If I make it too long, you forget of the details. The details aren't all that important, but pray for Tegan Clausen, her parents, Stephen Cheryl, and the grandmother, Judith Clausen, please, as we kneel. And then also for Billy Barch. Let us all kneel in a silent word of prayer. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take the blue book and turn to number 385, His Way with Thee. Can we stand?
with him within the narrow room. When you have him bear your burdens, carry all your load, let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can mend your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see.
A continuation further on children. We know this world is full of children. There's children in the Sunday school. Most parents have children. Some parents cannot have children. There are some singles that don't have children, but sometimes the single people have more children than married people because all of their nephews, the nieces and nephews are their children. We had a sister-in-law like that, my wife's sister. She was a school teacher. She had hundreds of children. She all claimed them to be her children. But it's not like maybe having your own, but how do we treat children, I guess, is the bottom line. And how do they fit into the kingdom of God? And how are we as adults responsible for young children? I hope by now, but the scriptures I shared, it was the disciples that were together in the ministry didn't have it together of its young children. They said, to the side with young children. We are first. We are the greatest, not young children. And then he took young children and explained to his disciples and the people, it's not about you. You must become as little children and must become humble, otherwise you will not enter therein. And when he says that you must become as little children, that doesn't mean that we should become childish as adults. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible says when you're an adult, you put away childish things. But in nature, we have to have faith and we have to become as little children. You know, I see a lot of seniors here. I see some young mothers. We all have children, yeah? Most of us. Grandchildren are really sweet, aren't they? I sometimes say if I had known, I would have started with them. Doesn't work that way. You know, you spoil them and then you send them home. And it's fun. But they are very humble. You see them play and they can even fight. And a minute later, they play again. I think that's a lesson adults have to learn. They have to learn. And many other lessons. They are humble in spirit, and they can forgive and carry on. Or would you not agree? Many things that adults can learn from children. The Bible addressed little ones or young children. I guess the question would be us as adults, are they sometimes in the way? Do we appreciate young children as Jesus did? Would we have time to pray over them, bless them, and take time? Do we as adults cherish the Sunday school enough that are teaching those young children, our youth leaders? I read some statistics, and I don't know if they're accurate, but I'll share them. They needn't be. That the U.S. in 45 years aborted 60 million young babies. They were in the way, I guess. Young mothers did not want to be bothered with young children. We know where they went. But there we can see that a lot of parents want to have the pleasure of making babies, but they don't want to have the responsibility of bringing them. And that is a big responsibility, parents. Little children, innocent children, they are humble. In James chapter 4, talking about humble, I believe this was not written to children. This was written to adults. Adults that maybe even profess to be more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Those that want to be the greatest, like the disciples, that's prideness. He resisteth the proud, yet giveth grace to the humble. And Jesus said, you must become humble as a little child. And then we will receive more grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And who shall lift you up? The Lord shall, and he shall lift you up. A good lesson for adults. If you want more grace, be more humble. Pride is resisted by God. Persist that, say, a certain food, you won't eat it. Resist it. And Jesus taught adults to be humble as a child and not proud. And then he goes on to say that it's a spiritual warfare in verse 7. You say, resist yourself to God. Resist the devil. It's a spiritual warfare between pride, because we're proud people in nature. And I take out of this lesson from verse 6 to 10 that if you think it's a joking matter, he says it's no laughing matter in verse 9. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. If you think this is just a joke, this is an attitude of humans to be proud. God resists the proud. He doesn't say that we can't laugh or be happy, but in a case, he says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. In other words, take it serious. You're dealing with a spiritual force. Humble yourself into the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You get what it's driving at? It's not that you can't laugh and have a good time. That's not what it's driving. In this subject alone, our pride and humbleness, take it serious. If you're going to be lighthearted about it, you'll never accomplish it, because it's not a lighthearted matter. The child has it naturally to be humble, not an adult. You saw it in the disciples. They compared each other. In one place in the scripture, the disciples said, who would sit beside Jesus in heaven? They're busy over things that they had no control over. And always pointing to children, they had it more together than adults. But that does not say we become childish. That's not the idea. If we turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy, Paul taught Timothy many good lessons. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He's talking to Timothy. Paul's talking to Timothy, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Concentrate a little bit on verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt. Paul says, you have learnt to Timothy, hast been assured of. You have some assurance what you have learnt is to the truth. Knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. You must have some teacher that has taught you as a child. Yeah? We're talking about children and adults. Then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. A couple of chapters before that, Paul says he has, in verse 5, about her grandmother Lois and Eunice had taught them. Godly mother and a godly grandmother. And here in verse chapter 3, he talks about continue in the things you have learned from your mother and grandmother, assured of and learned them. And then he applies them. Applies that if a child knows the Holy Scripture, the Bible, they can only make you wise unto salvation. It cannot give you salvation. And he points out it's through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And in verse 16 and 17, it talks about what the Scriptures all apply to and can do for correction and righteousness, thoroughly furnished unto good works. We grow in the Scriptures. Faith. You know, it's faith accepting, you know, the finished work of Jesus that makes us wise to salvation. It's not somebody else's faith. It's not the church's faith. It's your own personal faith. And that's what Eunice and Lois had taught Timothy. And that's what Paul is pointing out. You continue in them. And then if you have that from a child, it can make you wise to make good choices. But it's part of the faith that saves us. Let's turn our Bibles to an important verse about faith. Today we're struggling with an issue of you can't lose your faith. Well, what does the Bible say? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and on. It says expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. If you've never been in Winkler, you can't depart from Winkler. If you depart from this church building, you leave it. Here it says departing from the faith. We just read that continue in the faith that his mother and grandmother had taught him, and that you can accept it. Can you make you wise to accept it when you get older? And it goes on to say, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They turn away from this faith. They depart from it, and they go to ungodly demonic spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the giving of them which believe and know the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Paul taught Timothy. And here in Timothy, he says, but there will come a time, and they will turn from this faith. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God's fear is the beginning of God's wisdom. A good understanding have all they that keep his commandments or do his commandments. As we wrap up this morning's service of an important subject of children, and where we as adults stand with children as parents do, let's evaluate some things. I've noticed that in times, I don't know if it still happens, I would think it did, that there would be some fathers that would drop off. That concerns me. The child is supposed to get some spiritual instruction, but the father goes someplace else. I've seen it. And then at the end, if things don't turn out, they would come for counseling or do something. Parents, you cannot replace your responsibility to your children. What nishofa? I'm sorry, it will not work. You are obligated to teach your children, to instruct your children, to love your children, to show them priorities. You can't hide that from your children. Children are much smarter than you think. They observe exactly what you do. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to even preach to them. If you drop them off for Sunday school, you think things will turn out. If you think, parents, if you think that sending, because things don't work out at home, I'm going to send them to a private school and then things will get better, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. The home is where it starts. And you don't use a screen to babysit your children. I'm not saying that there can't be a certain amount of entertainment. That's not what I'm trying to draw. But to babysit your children? I believe in input equals output. If you have a 500 horsepower tractor, it will deliver 500 horsepower. Spiritually, if you think you want to avoid your responsibility as a child, as much as you give it, and you see it. And I think this is what Jesus was pointing out in his ministry. Disciples, you don't have it together. My ministry is not just about adults. My ministry is to children. Parents, your ministry, grandmas, your ministry is to the grandchildren. And don't kid yourself. The priorities that you take, let it be sports, let it be politics, whatever, your children will pick up. They will pick up. And an institution, when I say institution, a Sunday school or a private school will not fill that. It might help, it might aid. No argument to that. But our responsibility was entrusted to parents. Child, if we go back to a child, when it's born, by the time it recognizes the mother's face or the parent's face, the body develops, the mind develops, first years, it starts speaking, recognizing. It identifies colors. It starts reading. I venture to say in 5 years, what they have learned, if we as adults would continue a jet, if we kept learning like a child. But we don't. And that's why it's so important to put the right things into a child's mind and then training. And that we are accountable. I've heard this saying being said that there are some religions, and I think it was the Catholic Church that said, give me your child till 5 years old and then you can have it back. And a lot of things are developed already. I can't prove it capable of. And I also know that you can't fool young children. I believe, according to the scriptures, that in heaven, the children will outnumber the adults by far. By far. Why I say that? 60 million abortions in 45 years. 60 million. I'm also reminded when rapture will happen, and according to 1 Thessalonians 4, when the rapture will happen, that all these children in the cribs or wherever they are, not accountable to God yet, they're too young, they will be raptured up, and where are they going? To heaven. With all the believers and the church saints will be raptured up. Can you for a minute think, in all reality, this is not totally scripture, but it's scripture-backed what I'm saying here, that non-believing parents will go to their bedrooms and there will be no children there. They are raptured up. I can't otherwise see. They will be raptured. There won't be any young children. Can you imagine school divisions announcing over media, no school for the first four grades, three grades, whatever they. That's where it talks about the great tribulation that is going to come upon the world, and the saints will be raptured up, but the thing is the children going to heaven. Why I'm so sure about children going to heaven, I'll explain to you. When David had a child out of wedlock, and it was sick. Most of you know the story. David was lying flat on his face, grieving to no end, because a child was sick. And when it died, he stood up and washed himself, and the people came in and having a different spirit. And David made this comment, now that he's died, I'm going to go and meet him. You get it? An innocent child, not accountable before God, went to heaven. The rapture will bring the young children with them. The aborted children will all go to heaven. The streets will be filled with children. And I have a verse to also substantiate that. If you turn your Bibles to Zechariah. Zechariah 8, verse 5, it says there, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Doesn't that warm your hearts? Children love to play. Again, I say there will be many, many children in heaven. I think there will be way outnumber the adults. But while we're here, we're still held accountable for these young children. And now I want to end off with the verse that I started off with and puzzle it together. And then you don't have to puzzle a Bible verse together, but we turn our Bibles to the opening verse that I read. Matthew 11. Matthew 28:30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you fine rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Parents, there's a reason why I chose these verses. Raising children has never been an easy task. It wasn't for us, it wasn't for our parents, neither our grandparents. It's always been a challenge. But Jesus says, if you're struggling in this area or in any area of life, come unto me. All ye that labor, you're trying to do the right thing as a young parent. He says, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you. Learn of me, of the word of God and Jesus. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will help you, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Maybe his standards, not mine. But he says, I'm there to help you. And what better verses to put together in a challenging time that we live in, and it always has been challenging, but I mean the challenging time that we're living in the electronic world, to bring your children before Jesus. He says, I want to help you. I know, parents, you are struggling with your children. You don't have to tell me that. That's a struggle. You don't always hit it right. But I want to tell you one thing. This message I did not put together to condemn any young parent. Jesus doesn't, and neither would I. You failed someplace. The advice I would give you, start today, admit where you've gone wrong, and move forward. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not here, we only have today. Don't feel defeated after today's message and think, oh, I'm such a failure. You know what you've just basically grappled with? The enemy's territory of defeat. And he loves doing it. If he can make you defeated, you cannot be prosperous of today or the future. Don't go there. That's not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message, to evaluate the value of children. And you as a parent or as a Sunday school teacher have one crack at teaching the children. Timothy, continue what you have learned. The faith that was brought to you, it can make you children wise unto salvation. And we have lots of parents there trying their best. Like I say, it's challenging. It's challenging. But education, Sunday school, won't do it. You as a parent are responsible. But don't be defeated. That's why I can't done for the world and what's happening. This isn't a maybe. It is. It's real. It is real. He impacted U.S. more than most anybody at 31 years old. He made this statement, if you want to go to university and you don't know what you're learning for, don't go. You'll bring your head a spin and you won't know what you believe. These are some truths that he made. When he got married just a couple of years ago, his wife said, my husband says every day, how can I serve you better? Husbands, is that what your... Erica said after he passed away, my husband says every day, how can I serve you better? Let's not build on Charles Kirk. Let's not build on the Apostle Paul. He didn't die for us. Not on Timothy, but we're building on Jesus Christ. And if there's people that have done the right things, let's recognize that. And if we want to compare to any godly person, go for it. In a godly way. Let us conclude in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of the service and thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit might have moved upon these people, young children, and that we become humble before you, as we read in James 4, and we will get grace, and we all need grace. Father, we pray for our Sunday school children. We pray for our teachers. We pray for our youth leaders. We pray for our own children and grandchildren and the children of this world. And we pray for any adult that makes an impact on young children, that you might give them more grace to carry on. It's an important work. It's a young heart and soul starting on their life's road to eternity. And let us be taught as Paul taught Timothy. You had a godly mother and grandmother. They make the right choices. We ask your blessing upon this morning's service and at each service that is held in this world. We pray for those that are sick and lonely. We pray for our government in Ottawa as well as Manitoba, for our city council, our mayor, our school division, Garden Valley, and the teachers that have started a new year. And Father, might we all be teachers, proclaiming the word of God and honoring and glorifying your name till you return. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us, for our closing, please kneel in a silent word of prayer. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 399. I'll go where you want me to go. 399.
But
Start our announcements with a note from the program committee. And it says, save the date on your calendar for the church's annual Thanksgiving service, program and lunch, starting at 10 a.m. October 19th. We'll be needing volunteers to bake some chocolate apple pies. There will be a sign-up sheet in the church foyer on October 5th and 12th. Lunch in the dining hall will be served by the ladies' group, buffet style, and the seniors will be served at the tables. Looking forward to seeing you there. And also, next Sunday will be our fellowship meal. You're all again invited to that. And I believe there's some leftover hot dogs or a meal or something to share. That'd be great. Hoping to see you there for that also. And a few dates to keep in mind. The adult Bible study will be resuming Wednesday, October 8th at 7:30. And the seniors' coffee will be starting on October 16th, and that'll be at 2 p.m. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
I thank you all for coming. Again, I want to make sure or remind you, don't go away discouraged. It doesn't have to be at the end of the road. It can be anywhere. Why don't we sing a little different? Why don't we sing, give me oil in my lamps, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamps, I pray. Give me oil in my lamps, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamps till the break of day. Give me, you play it? Give me oil in my lamps, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamps, I pray. Give me oil in my lamps, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Thank you. That's what we need. Oil in our lamps. It's a spiritual oil that lets our light shine. Concluding with the benediction that Moses blessed the children of Israel, let us unite. The Lord bless thee, and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee now and unto all eternity. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Again, have a most blessed day. Thank you for coming.